time, she says. The soon-to-be mother carefully makes her way to the passenger seat of the car. Breathe in, breathe out, she tells herself. Her husband rushes the car toward the hospital, ready to see new life in the flesh. Several hours and pushes and prayers later, the tiny newborn takes her first breath in the world as we know it. Mom and dad may not realize it, but baby's first intake of air will be one of the strongest breaths she will ever take. What is heard in the delivery room as a cry of shock is heard in heaven as a cry of blessing. In both places, it is a cry of life. God gives life. God gives breath. They are one and the same. Baby instinctively knows she only has to receive one to have the other. She grows older. She even forgets that the creator of the universe sustains her life with his very breath. The world tells her that she has to work for it. The world twists the truth until she believes that she does not matter. But the world doesn't know that she cannot flee from what surrounds her, or that the lover of her soul pursues her relentlessly. He whispers. She bends her ear towards his voice, and she turns the pages of hope to find that he has been there all along. From her first breath to her last, he is sustaining her every need. Her first breath was of his love, and her last will be into his arms. So she breathes deeply again and again. And with every breath, she repeats these words, "My life matters." Because now she remembers. Her life was not an accident, and her future is not held by chance. Today, my friends, I want us to consider the power of God's breath in us, or more specifically, the precious gift of life. So our scripture reading today is Luke 23:44-56. And yes, I am still battling a sinus infection. Thank you for hanging in with me today. I know my voice is a little scratchy and nasally, but let's read our scripture together. It's Luke 23:44-56. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." All the multitudes that came together to see this, when they saw the things that were done, returned home, beating their breasts. All his acquaintances and the women who followed with him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man. He had not consented to their counsel and deed, from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was always waiting for God's kingdom. This man went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. He took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb that was cut in stone, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of the preparation, and the Sabbath was drawing near. The women who had come with him out of Galilee followed after and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. They returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. All right, friends, our big idea for today is this. The day we recognize life as a precious gift from our Heavenly Father is the day we truly start to live. Well, the arrest was made. The trials came and went. The conviction was laid down. And now the time for the cross had come. Jesus had met his divine appointment in Jerusalem. And if you're like me, this passage requires many deep breaths to get through it. I cannot even read the 23rd chapter of Luke without weeping for my king. So inhale deeply as we dive in a little deeper. So it took 6 days for God to create the world, and it would take 6 hours for Jesus to bring salvation for all of humanity. You see, Jesus was crucified around 9 a.m. and stayed on the cross until 3 p.m. Fulfilling the prophecy from Amos 8, 9, and 10, darkness covered the land for about 3 hours, which would have begun at noon. Luke doesn't give specific information as to the physical details of Jesus' crucifixion. And so we as readers are left to hold the simple retelling of his death within the universal implications of his life. And this is an ideal perspective for our lesson today, because we're going back to the basics of life. And life, life to the full, determined living, determined life, after all, is the driving focus for our study. So let's read just Luke 23:46 again. Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. He breathed his last. With his last words, Jesus quoted Psalm 31:5, which was written by David. It's a verse that may have been recited often at the evening offering at the temple, which would have taken place at around the same time of Jesus' death. His last breath was an offering to his Father on behalf of the entire world. Scripture tells us that God's breath fills us. It sustains us. We cannot run from it, nor do we have to work for it. We simply have to receive it. God fills us with life and love with every breath we take. What's more, the very cessation of Jesus' breath was necessary for us to receive the gift of eternal life. His death was a holy sin offering sent to the Father so that we might live forever with God in heaven. Praise be to our wonderful Savior who gave his very breath for us. Yes, take a deep breath in right now with me. Every ounce of it is full of mercy, grace, and love. It's also full of life. You may have read these famous words often attributed to Alice Morse Earle. It goes like this: yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Now, I've seen shortened variations of this saying everywhere, including on a sign that hangs in a beach house where I stay often. I've visited coastal North Carolina waters every summer since I was born, and every time I return, I wonder, will this summer be my last? Listen, I know that's a bit of a morbid thought, but thinking about it in light of what Jesus has done for us shifts my perspective from morbid to majestic. Last moments are always on my mind. Last chances. Is this the last time I'll hug my son, kiss my husband, breathe in saltwater air, breathe in at all? Life is so precious. I want to soak it up. And as it turns out, living like every moment might be my last feels like I'm living in abundance instead. Because each breath holds a rare moment of blessing that repeats itself every time we are willing to acknowledge that that breath comes from God. And just like walking into a dark room and turning on a light, once we realize the value of the breath of God, combined with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, it changes us. The day we recognize life as a precious gift from our Heavenly Father is the day we truly start to live. Intentionally living like Jesus means that nothing is wasted and everything is precious. And all of it points to the glory of God because we recognize Him as the source of all life. So open your eyes to what this day holds for you. Shift your perspective from one of burden to one of blessing. Every mundane task before you is a miracle. So take a deep breath and put 2 feet on the floor, my friend. It's time to start living like Jesus. All right, so here are a few questions to ponder as you go about your day. How does God's breath fill us and sustain us? Do you ever find yourself feeling out of breath with all you're carrying or facing? How might remembering your breath with intention help sustain you through these times? What comes to mind when you hear this statement? Intentionally living like Jesus means that nothing is wasted and everything is precious. How can you open your eyes to what each day holds for you? All right, my friends, that's all for today. I am heading back to my cup of tea. We'll be back tomorrow with our last day of determined living like Jesus in every moment. Thank you for spending part of your day with us here at the No Dusty Bibles podcast. We hope today's reading has encouraged you and brought you closer to understanding the heart of God.
Don't forget to join us for the next reading. And if you're looking for more resources or want to connect with our community, visit us at therescuedletters.com and find us on social media at Rescued Letters.
The No Dusty Bibles podcast is produced by the Rescued Letters Collective, a united front of women's ministry endeavors with a shared vision to help women everywhere cultivate a richer faith. Our mission is simple but transformative. Make the Bible not just available, but wholly accessible and deeply meaningful for every woman who seeks its wisdom. If this podcast encouraged you today, we would love for you to leave a rating and review and also share it with a friend. Until next time, I'm Heather.
And I'm Hannah.
Reminding you that every page turned in the Bible is a step closer to God.
We're rooting for you.